94.5 CT Hayward and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump's in Paris, where he'll attend the opening of the Notre Dame Cathedral after the fire 5 years ago. But ABC's Mary Alice Park says this trip also represents his first foreign visit since his election.
Trump has promised to dramatically shake up U.S. foreign policy, specifically trade policy. He campaigned on sweeping tariffs on goods coming from abroad, spooking allies, and leading economists to warn of potential price hikes for consumers. But this week, Trump boasting of how leaders in Canada and Mexico were already responding to his threats.
It's not clear where Trump stands on TikTok. A federal court Friday allowed the law requiring TikTok to be sold to remain in place. Ceremonies today at Pearl Harbor marking 83 years since the Japanese attack that led to the U.S. entry into World War II. And South Korea's president survived an impeachment vote after his bid to impose martial law this week. This is ABC News. The group that led the charge to end affirmative action programs is trying to do the same at military academies, saying that violates the Equal Protection Clause, but the District Court in Maryland disagreed, saying criteria for service academies is a fundamentally military personnel issue under the authority of the executive branch. This president of Students for Fair Admissions vowed to appeal. A major development in the trial involving an allegedly deadly chokehold on a New York City subway, says ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
The judge in the trial for Daniel Penny, accused in that deadly chokehold on a New York City subway, dismissing the most serious of the two charges against the Marine veteran. The ruling coming just hours after jurors said they were unable to come to a unanimous vote on second-degree manslaughter, which carried a prison sentence of up to 15 years. The 26-year-old Penny now facing a lesser charge of negligent homicide in the death of Jordan Neely.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Nearly one in five Wisconsin newspapers shut down in the last year. It paints a grim picture for the future of local news provided by journalists who live in the communities they serve. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
This year alone, 130 newspapers nationwide shut down, according to a report by the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. But amid an increasing climate of misinformation and media distrust among some Americans, the news outlets they say they trust the most are community newspapers. Professor Robert Aisen at the University of Wisconsin at Madison says in this polarized climate, where people choose to get their news matters.
It seems less and less that we're willing or able to see things that we may share in common. And that's exacerbated by a media ecosystem where we're not even getting the same information, where we're not even sharing the same basic set of facts.
A recent review of radio talk shows in Wisconsin found those with the largest audiences and the most advertising are led by conservative hosts who aired the most misinformation. Aisen says leadership is a major influence in this trend.
When you look at public discourse and you look at public figures and you see examples of a disregard for truth or disregard for verifying stories or disregard for fair and kind of accurate representations, I think that those practices encourage more of the same practice.
Wisconsin Democrats proposed a package of bills earlier this year aimed at strengthening local journalism and its workforce. One bill would offer a tax credit for local newspaper subscriptions, but it didn't pass in the state Senate.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Northern Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy. We'll see a high near 36. Southwest winds at 10 to 20. For tonight, mostly cloudy. A low of 26. Chance of rain and snow for Sunday, a high near 34. And a chance of rain and snow Sunday night with a low of 30 degrees.
It's 30 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we're in Washington, D.C. to talk about the Trump transition and how progressives need to reform their year-round campaign tactics.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from
hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. We're kicking things off by going back to Monday's show. Monday was actually my birthday, and I only bring that up because I'm incredibly grateful to work with the people I do at Civic Media. Everybody here is a great coworker and a great friend, and I appreciate that they threw me a little impromptu birthday party. So I thought I would share a little bit of it with you. Enjoy.
And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with the outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Monday, December 2nd, 2024. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite. It is a great day to be a birthday boy. Happy birthday, Mr. Aaron Zommers. I'm going to call upon the masses, the stars, and start singing, see what happens. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Aaron. Happy birthday to you. Turn the mics here, Zommers. Turn the mics. Look at that. Come on. Yes. Here we have the Civic Media staff and crew have joined me here live in the studio to wish you a very happy birthday.
I was wondering what you were doing with the microphones in there.
Well, I was just changing. You can't get anything by this guy. You understand? All right. So here we have. Look at Anaconda making birthday faces. This is great. All right. So here we have a birthday presentation. I will hand it over to our. Very good. Go ahead. What do you? Open the present. All right. The present being brought to you, Zombies. This is the office present being brought to you. Since, not everybody can see the stream, it's a beautiful brown bag with a little white tissue in it.
Or it's blue. It's blue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But let's see what we got here. Oh, boy. All right. Okay.
All right. He's opening it up now. Look at this.
Chef Frog here. I'll hold it up for the camera if you can kind of see it. That's beautiful. Thank you very much.
And explain to people now why you got a frog.
So I have a ton of frog decorations. Mm. I started collecting I don't know how many years ago, because my youngest sister, Elena, one day just got me a little frog pin or something, mm-hmm. and then it just kind of expanded from there and finding weirder and weirder frogs. Like, I have one in a bikini
really?
At home. I've got
a frog in a bikini?
That's probably the weirdest
one. I didn't even know that was a thing.
There's also meditating frogs. There's, frog princes. That one might be a little more expected.
Do you have a chef frog?
I do now.
Now you do now. Oh. See? All right. There's something I think. What else you got in there? Go ahead.
Oh. It's also a card with a gift certificate to I'm Bored, a board game store in Middleton.
There we go. Look at that. See, everybody. Well done.
And a card, should I look at the card now or should I look at the card?
You can open it up. We don't have to read every name, but I mean, yeah. I'm not sure. It's not like the Academy Awards.
Yeah. Have a happy birthday.
Look at that. Well done. We appreciate you do so much for us as our senior producer. You're not just doing this show, but people listen to the Kripescast. You're doing all the editing for that, for Lost in the Middle. You do a lot of the promos here at the station. And every time somebody at the Racine and Waukesha studio have a guest here, you're usually setting them up. So there's a lot more that people don't see that you do for this company. And I just wanted to say publicly thank you. We have We have, you know, Sager's CEO is here. He's told me that he's giving you a $20,000 pay increase. That's very, wait a minute. I'm being fired. This will be the last Town Hall Boss show. Now, Corey Hartman, our vice president.
You know, usually it's a 50-cent off coupon to Dairy Queen, but we thought we'd up it a little this time.
Nice. I like that. Well, thank you, Aaron. On behalf of all of us here at Civic, hope you have a very happy birthday, and thanks for all you do for us.
Well, thank you. And thanks to all of you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you. Look at that. See, a little surprise, a little birthday surprise. That's good stuff, right?
Yeah.
You got to take time for each other.
I didn't expect that. You know, I didn't know what you were doing with the microphone, but I didn't expect that.
No, it's we just wanted to take time to say thank you. And thank you for all the staff and crew for coming in here and helping out. We appreciate all of it.
The frog, for those of you who couldn't see it, it's a little stuffed frog. It has an apron, a chef hat, a knife, and a little mustache. I like the little mustache on the frog.
Yeah, it's a mustachioed frog, so... Anyway, but in all seriousness, thank you, Aaron. We really do appreciate you. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. If you want to join in the Zomers festivities. Bob, listening down in beautiful Waukesha, home of WAUK. Bob, thanks for listening. What say you?
About Luke Pickle.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
The problem with the Badgers is, one, their offensive line wasn't as good as it's been in years past.
Mm-hmm.
And two, they haven't had a good quarterback since Russell Wilson. That Locke, he was a terrible quarterback. And you can't blame Longo. He gave Locke the plays. But Locke couldn't execute. He could hand the ball off, but any dummy, you and I could do that.
Well, but I couldn't, but...
He was a regular.
Right.
I mean, he could make a long pass down the field one time, and then the next six passes, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
No, look, I get it.
All Fickle ever did...
Go ahead.
All Fickle ever did was stand on the sidelines... chew gum when he fired Longo, he should have taken over the play calling. He's the head coach.
Yeah.
But he passed it off.
Right. Well, I
think he's a terrible coach.
Well, I appreciate your call, Bob. And again, this goes back to, we started this in hour one a little bit, talking about, I went to the Wisconsin-Minnesota game this weekend, Wisconsin Badger football game at Camp Randall. Badgers lost the axe to Minnesota. Finished the season, first time in 22 years with a losing record, only 5 wins on the year. And Wisconsin football, not in a good place. And yes, Bob, you're right. I mean, Luke Fickle, head coach, did fire Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator, a couple weeks ago. But I'm not sure I just don't believe that you can put the blame on any one player. Yes, I mean, was Braden Locke? Remember, Tyler Van Dyke was supposed to be the number one QB this year, and he went down in what, second game of the season with an ACL? And so they had to move Braden Locke up. He was the next man up. And to your point, Phil Longo, I think it's the offensive coordinator's job to look at the talent pool that he has available on the roster and then adjust his offensive calls to what he has available. And I think for a lot of Badger fans, the frustration wasn't as much that Locke wasn't able to pull off the so-called air raid pass-heavy offense as it was that Phil Longo seemed to be reticent up until the Oregon game, was reticent to mix in any sort of an identifiable run game, which has always been the bread and butter for the most part of the Wisconsin Badgers ever since Barry Alvarez came here in the early 90s. And the fact that Phil Longo abandoned that by and large and then kept at it even when it wasn't working, I think that's what really frustrated a lot of Badger fans, and maybe even more so. And this is what really galled a lot of people over the weekend. P.J. Fleck, who I've gone off on P.J. Fleck enough on this show, I won't beat up on him right now. He's a very self-absorbed individual, in my opinion. But he spoke some truth in Madison on Saturday. When, to paraphrase him, he said the toughest team won. And he was right, unfortunately. And I think that's what bothers a lot of Badger fans more than the win and loss column. It's the fact that a program like Wisconsin, who has prided itself for 25 plus years of being usually the toughest team, physically, mentally, work ethic on the team, on the field, has not been this year. And I'm not talking about Alabama and Oregon and Penn State. I'm talking about Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. The heart of the former Big Ten West, which we had dominated for years. We're losing to them on toughness, on agility. That's the identity that I think a lot of Badger fans are upset with that has been lost. And from the outside, it appears there hasn't been a whole lot of urgency to change that on behalf of Fickell. So time will tell. Again, Fickell has a big contract. I read over the weekend, I think it's $33 million is what it would cost UW to buy him out if they fired him now. So most likely isn't going to happen. Reports are he's looking at the UNLV offensive coordinator to be the next offensive coordinator for Wisconsin. I think it's Marion Brennan, I believe is the guy's name. Then he has something called, we're going to go from the air raid offense to the so-called go-go offense. That's what Marion Brennan's offense is called. And apparently it combines a running and passing offense called the go-go offense.
Well, I hope the team wakes up before they go-go.
Nicely done. Allie listening in Madison on WMDX says the Badgers need Jim Leonard at a bigger front line. Well, yeah, there's a lot. You know, Jim Leonard, of course, was the defensive coordinator here, won accolades, one of the best defenses in America. When Paul Chris was head coach, a lot of people thought he would take over as head coach. UW athletic director Chris McIntosh passed him over to go get Fickell. Now, there were understandably a lot of hurt feelings. Is UW willing to pay enough to even have interest from Jim Leonard to be the next defensive coordinator? A lot of people aren't happy with the defense either, with Tressel. But A, would Jim Leonard want to, and could UW pay him enough? And as I said, people like me have fantasized about, well, wouldn't it be great to bring Jim Leonard back as the head coach? In reality, because of the dollar signs, because of the money involved, probably not going to happen. Fickell will probably get at least a half a year more, if not a full third year. And then you have to ask yourself, how far will the program be gone at that point if they can't turn it around? And how much of that is the responsibility of Chris McIntosh, the athletic director? John Roach on this program said it best. And I agree with him. In today's name, like, image, and likeness world, Wisconsin simply doesn't have enough millionaires or billionaires that care enough about college football like Phil Knight does at Oregon to compete in the NIL world.
It's the same problem that the Brewers have had for a long time.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm fine winning 9-10 games consistently, going to a nice bowl game on New Year's Day, and occasionally competing for a Cinderella year of a national championship. But that's just me. Gonna come back, take more of your phone calls, switch gears.
Up next, we're gonna scoot on ahead to Wednesday's show with Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio. Stick around.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Chocolate on my fingers. Icing on my lips.
Thanks for tuning back in for more of this week's Best of the Todd Alba Show. Here's part of the conversation with Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, from Wednesday's show.
Why I can go downstairs and cruise.
Like this.
Got them Oreo cream sandwich.
Sing
chocolate covered cream filled cookie blue.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 21 past the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday. Well done, Mr. Zommers. You know that Mr. Kreitlow is a big Stevie Ray Vaughan fan.
Indeed. And that was Oreo Cookie Blues, which he only played live, which is why, you know, not the greatest recording, but pretty thematic for today.
Thematic indeed. Well done, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, 6 to 8 on Civic Media, joins us from beautiful Lake Wissota. It's National Cookie Day, Pat. I'm sure you know that because you guys do, national days on your program every day. And
we do in our daily newsletter. Our newsletter was all about cookies today. Sign up for the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com.
Upnorthnewswi.com. What's your favorite cookie, Pat?
Oh, just a classic chocolate chip. When I'm on my game, when I make, everybody kind of tweaks their chocolate chip cookie recipe. And when I get mine just right, I mean, it's so good. And, there's all those variables. What's the temperature, the humidity today, everything else. But, boy, there's nothing like making your own cookies and getting them just the way you want them.
Totally agree that homemade chocolate chip cookies were the best. I did not have time to do that this morning, so I walked up to a Wonder State Coffee on the square here, and I got the next best thing, chocolate chunk sea salt cookies this morning.
Oh, chocolate chunk sea salt.
Yeah. And Mr. Zomber, I'm sorry I can't telegraphically or whatever telepathically send you one, but I sent one to Zomber's there. And
If I were down there, as I was last time I was in Madison, I made sure to hit Insomnia Cookies on State Street.
Oh, yes.
You know, just anything fresh and gooey like that is just that's the existence of God right there.
It really
is, and freshly baked cookies.
Yeah.
I don't trust Insomnia Cookies because every time been there.
Okay. There goes that commercial.
Every time I've gone there, it's been late at night and the person working did not want to be there. And
you
I'm like,
asleep?
I don't trust you to not cross-contaminate. And some of them have nuts. It's probably fine.
Not trusting the insomnia people to cross.
I don't trust a place whose business model is built on late night bar customers with munchies.
Exactly.
I understand that. All right. I understand.
Let's go quickly to the phone line. Ted listening in Appleton. Ted, you have a quick question. Now, yesterday we did the show up at Green Bay. And for those that were not listening, I paid my parking meter via the app I was given, and it ran out towards the last 45 minutes of the show, and I tried to renew it, and my phone would not let me do it. So, Ted, what do you got for us?
Curious minds want to know, did you get a ticket?
Curious minds want to know. I can report, Ted, that no, I was not ticketed by Green Bay's Finest, the parking police meter maid. She let me alone. Although I did try to renew it or re-up it several times, and it wouldn't let me do it. So I was loading my stuff out, and I was in technical violation. But no, nobody came along. So thank you for asking. I appreciate that.
You'll
get a ticket in the mail.
Now, let's not talk about that, for goodness sake. Oh, my gosh. All right, thank you, Ted.
But I know that Dr. Kristen Lyerly's partner, Craig, is an officer with the Green Bay Department, so I figure it goes one of two ways. Either he made sure you didn't get the ticket, or that was him at the other end of the app just messing with you.
Yes,
so that you couldn't get it done. Either way, I can just see him and Kristen just giggling.
Oh, yeah. As they just razzing me. And for the record, Green Bay is a lovely city, and I love everything about it. So I love visiting when we can. All right. I'm not sure we'll have time for all of this here before the end of break, but we got some viewer mail, Pat, just like Letterman. Actual letters from actual viewers. I have it in my hot little hands. I haven't had time to get through this. But this
from the home office in Bloomer, Wisconsin.
Yes. I'll start reading this. This is, Dear Mr. Allbaugh, Humans United for Multi-Protuberance Sensitivity, here and after referred to as humps. Now, protuberance, and for those of you who don't know, I had to look it up, it's things that stick out, things that protrude is protuberance. So this is from the Multi-Protuberance Sensitivity, a group better known as humps, which they claim is a global organization. It says several creatures, including dromedary camels, have one hump, but the mission of humps is to raise sensitivity toward the uniquely multi-humped Bactrian camel. The vision statement for humps is creating a world in which everyone remembers that an uppercase D turned on its side is for dromedary and an uppercase letter B on its side is for a bacterian. Members of humps enjoy listening to your show by radio, by app, and by streaming from their homes around the globe. On behalf of humps members, we humbly ask for greater sensitivity to the plight of Bactrian camels as a part of you, your producer, Aaron Zommers, and the community of Total Hubball Show listeners.
Did you write this?
No, I did not. This
I don't think it has
letter,
much to
actual
do.
Letter.
It has less to do with how many humps, the fact that you've actually got a talking camel on your show every Wednesday.
Courtesy of Geico, but yes.
We'll have to ask him about his thoughts on this and what kind of camel he is.
Right.
Yeah.
But I thought that was one of the better actual letters I've gotten in quite some time. That people took time to write this and send it. What have you ever gotten something like from all your times on air, a viewer email or letter, and you're just like, wow.
Oh, yeah. We get them and we put them in special filters. Some of the filters say fan mail. Some say not fan mail. And,
What was one of the craziest?
We get all kinds.
All your time in the media, television, radio, what have you. What was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about you?
Well, certainly they as a TV anchor, you know, your hair, your weight. The tie that you wore that particular day. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Travy and I have said multiple times, you have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it back in the year 2000.
Really?
And it did not go over well. No.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. I played the good soldier and I stuck with it for about 6 weeks. And then I said, no, that's enough of that. It was basically a bowl haircut.
It was
ridiculous.
That would be terrible.
Did you do a bowl haircut on the news?
Yes. You messed it up just a little bit, and they were trying to go for like a George Clooney and ER type of thing. It wasn't working at all, and it just cemented my feeling that so many of these consultants, not that there aren't some good ones out there, but a lot of them, if they've nobody says, you're doing a great job, don't change a thing. Right. If all they could come up with was my hair,
right?
Well, fine.
Hey, Pat Kreitlow, we love his hair. We love his voice. We love what he does for us on the air. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick, every morning, 6 to 8.
Up next, we're going to Tuesday, where Todd was live from WGBW Studios, and he had an interesting time. Stick around.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump's in Paris, where he'll attend the opening of the Notre Dame Cathedral after the fire 5 years ago. But ABC's Mary Alice Park says this trip also represents his first foreign visit since his election.
Trump has promised to dramatically shake up U.S. foreign policy, specifically trade policy. He campaigned on sweeping tariffs on goods coming from abroad, spooking allies, and leading economists to warn of potential price hikes for consumers. But this week, Trump boasting of how leaders in Canada and Mexico
were already responding to his threats.
It's not clear where Trump stands on TikTok. A federal court Friday allowed the law requiring TikTok to be sold to remain in place. Ceremonies today at Pearl Harbor marking 83 years since the Japanese attack that led to the U.S. entry into World War II. And South Korea's president survived an impeachment vote after his bid to impose martial law this week. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks kept it close. The game featured 11 ties, 14 lead changes, but Boston pulled away and got the win, 111-105. Doc Rivers pretty much summed it all up.
I thought we played great basketball for 3.5 quarters, and then I thought in the fourth quarter, the last 7 minutes, we went away from our execution that we were doing all game. A lot of tough shots. So, good learner for us. You know, the one thing when you watch them, they don't do that. They resist. Even in their ISOs, when they're covered, they put the ball on the floor to make plays for each other. I didn't think we did that tonight.
The Bucks are now 0-9 when they play in Boston. Men's college basketball today. Marquette hosting Wisconsin this afternoon in Milwaukee. The women's college volleyball tournament, the Badgers and Golden Eagles, are in the Sweet 16, headed to the regionals next week. Last night, the Badgers beat number 7th ranked Georgia Tech at the Fieldhouse in Madison 3-1. Marquette held out in a thriller over Utah 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Northern Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy. We'll see a high near 36. Southwest winds at 10 to 20. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 26. Chance of rain and snow for Sunday, a high near 34. And a chance of rain and snow Sunday night with a low of 30 degrees.
Right now, it's 28.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though. Hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanelli says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you-can't-have-just-one-slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, catch Dom and Jess back in the studio to chop up the news with our favorite FDR Democrat or socialist. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They see me rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to kiss me riding dirty, trying to kiss me riding dirty.
Thanks for tuning in for the best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. We're going to give a listen to part of Tuesday's show, where Todd came to us live from the WGBW studios, and as he often does, he had some parking issues. So listen in to see how it turned out. As a reminder, since this is pre-recorded, we can't take any of your phone calls, so you'll just have to listen to the answers that other people provided. Stay tuned.
Now, we got our, as we say back at Richland Center, we got ourselves a situation.
We got ourselves a situation here, Zombers. Before the break, I was talking out, and again, I love Green Bay. I'm wearing a Packers shirt. I stayed here last night. I got nothing against the city or the people of Green Bay. They're fantastic folks. It's a great place to be. I just find it enormously amusing that the parking system that they've decided to set up here. Because to park now, you have to download this app. Which, fine, I don't, whatever, and connect your credit card to it and pay it that way, which I have done. But you're only allowed to park in one space up to 2 hours at a time, which I did the entire amount, which got me to an expired here about 21 minutes past the hour. So I went to renew my parking. And it said I had to put the zone that I was in. Well, I don't remember what, now there's math involved. So during this last break, I went out, I scanned and put in the zone number. And this is rich. So I put in the zone number, I sign up for 2 more hours because it's going to expire, you know, at 3:20, whatever. I thought that's perfect. That gets me, you know, I can load up after the show. I'm fine. So I went to reload my parking here. And this pops up on my screen. It says, parking denied. The parking operator has set up a lockout period. You are within this period and are not allowed to park at this time in this zone.
You're trying to give them your money.
I know. And so I thought, well, okay, I have to change meters. To your point, Zombers, like you can't, like in cities where they mark your tires, right? You got to, where it's free 2 hour parking, but they mark your tires if you don't move in 2 hours. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll back up to another meter. And let's see if I can, like, do we have any street cam music there, Zomers? We can do this in real time here as I see if I can do this to show our streaming audience here on, I'm going to move the camera now. Here we are. Because we're right downtown in lovely downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin. So look at that. There we are. Whoops. So there you go. There's my Dodge Ram sitting out there. You can see the parking meter, the right in front of it there. And there's my truck. It's a little whited out because of the lighting out there. But there's my truck. It sits right. So I parked up in that stall. And so I scanned it again. And I cannot, it will not allow me to renew my parking. So at any moment, the meter people, the meter maid, whoever they're called, may come by and ticket me. Now, if they do, I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to run out there. I'm going to ask them if they'll come on the show and talk to us. Would that be fantastic?
Seems unlikely, but it would.
The interview of the day of the. But what's the guy supposed to do, Zombers?
Only ever have things to do for 2 hours maximum.
Right. I've never seen that where I don't know. Now, I met during when Trigby and I were up here last time, we were at an event for the Lincoln Project of the Union. And we had a guy that worked in the mayor's office come down, and he was a wonderful person. I think he was running for assembly. I'm not sure if he won or not. But he said he'd get the mayor. Mayor Gingrich is a fantastic guy, I think. And maybe we can get him on the show, and he can explain what's going on in this parking down here. Because I'm just trying to be helpful. I'm just trying to help out, you understand?
I want to make sure nobody else has the same thing happen.
No, I want people to come to Green Bay. I want them to experience it. You're not going to find a better cheerleader. Well, I guess that's not true. Mino and the mayor are better cheerleaders than I am. But I love Green Bay. I love everything about it. I just think they need to address the – you have to make it so people can park, right?
You'd think.
I don't know. What?
One would think.
Well, Zombers has almost no sympathy for me, by the way.
That's not true. I just don't know how to react because it's ridiculous.
It is. It is absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, I'm not sure if I in the what's worse, I'll give you my holiday parties or company holiday parties or company picnics. What's the worst? Boy, I don't know. I think I'm with whoever said, look, if the company's putting it on, it's a free event, I'm grateful for it, and I'll go. I think there's something to be said for company picnics being better only because it's outside and theoretically nicer weather. So if somebody's being had a couple of too many or whatever, it's easier to walk away from that situation where maybe holiday parties just more enclosed during the holiday season. I don't know. That's just one.
For me, it's very difficult because, but I feel like I'm going to go with you on the same thing where holiday parties are worse. My reasoning is because what's the food at a picnic? You know, hot dogs or whatever. I can eat hot dogs. What's the food at a holiday party? All kinds of desserts, and you never know what's got nuts in it. So I'm less likely to die at a picnic.
I'm less likely to die at a picnic. Well, that's a good reason. That's a good reason. All right. What else we got here? Oh, look, there is some serious news we're going to get to here in a minute. But I said I wanted to talk about that. And by the way, it's Giving Tuesday, by the way. A great opportunity for you to give to your local charity, nonprofit, help out your community. And if you want some help with that, we've made it very, very easy here at Civic Media. Just go to civicmedia.us. That's civicmedia.us on your computer, your device, whatever, and be an area there you could click on that, Giving Tuesday, to your favorite nonprofit. If you don't see it there listed, you could add it, or you could go to whatever wonderful nonprofit is in your community. And as Jane Matinier said earlier today, if you can't afford to give any money, that's fine. You can think about actually volunteering some time at your local nonprofit as well. So we could all do something. That's the point. We talked about this a little bit with Luke Mathers, but I want to get into it just a little bit more. This is big. This is big for us, those of us who in the college basketball world. And Michigan is coming to Wisconsin tonight. The Badgers, undefeated at 8-0, now number 11 in the country, taking on Michigan, unranked. They're 7-1. But doing better than expected. They're just outside the top 25 in the AP poll. I think they're 28, 29. And so this is a good team. And a lot of analysts who know more than me about college basketball are saying that these two teams, Michigan and Wisconsin, which neither one necessarily might have been thought about at the start of the season, these may be two of the big contenders for this year's Big Ten championship in college basketball. We shall see. But it's happening tonight. Here's a little interesting read. Give me part of it from Badgers 247. Badger Sports or 247sports.com says he might be in his first season as Michigan's head coach, but Dusty May is very familiar with Wisconsin. A native of Indiana, May sort of got his start as a student manager with the Hoosiers under the legendary Bob Knight. So number one, it's a great storyline, right? Coach Dusty May started as a manager with Bob Knight. Tonight, May will take his Wolverines, 6-1, not 7-1, 6-1, here into the Kohl Center for a matchup with the 11th-ranked Badgers, 8-0, who are off to their best start since 2013-2014. Quote, "I know how tough it is to win at Wisconsin and how infrequently teams win there," said May. "We've built this roster to be in a position to win games like this. We're confident, yet excited," unquote. Should be a great game tonight. Tip off at 7 p.m. in the Kohl Center. And yes, Mr. Zommers, if you want to watch it on TV, you got to have the Peacock. The Peacock. It's only on the Peacock streaming. There you go. That's right. It's only on the freaking Peacock on TV tonight. But here's the good news. You can listen for free on the Civic Media app. Matt LaPay and Brian Butch on the call. Pre-game show should be somewhere near 7:30, thereabouts. And then the game tips off at 8 p.m., a late tip-off tonight at the Kohl Center, relatively speaking. But again, Michigan leads the series, by the way, 99-75. And the last meeting last year, Michigan won 72-68. The line is Wisconsin by 2.5. So there you go. Should be a great game. I mean, again, and Luke brought this up earlier, Luke Mathers, head coach Greg Gard has operated within this name, image, likeness universe and the transfer portal and brought in this kid, John Tonji, who was at Missouri last year, didn't play much because of a foot injury. But a lot of folks are saying John Tonji may be the get in all of college basketball over this last season. Starting lineup includes John Blackwell, Max Klesman, Nolan Winter, Stephen Crowell, and, of course, the aforementioned John Tonji. So it should be a great game tonight. Look, for the first time this season, Wisconsin's going to run into a team that will match their size up front, according to 247sports.com. Like the Badgers, Michigan start a pair of seven-footers in Danny Wolf and Golden. So we'll see what happens tonight. But, again, tip-off tonight at 8 p.m. for free on the Civic Media app. You can find it on WRCE and Richland Center, amongst other stations across the Civic Media radio network. And, of course, as we said, the Packers taking on the Lions, not here in Green Bay, but rather at Detroit, could tell the story. I mean, if the Packers have any hope of catching up with the Lions in the NFC Central race, going to happen this Thursday. And again, that game, television-wise, only on Prime Network, Amazon Prime Network, with the great Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit on the call there. But again, you can listen to it not on the app, because we're not allowed to do professional sports. For God's sake, the fire alarm just went
off.
Scared
the crap out of me.
The fire alarm has gone off here at our studios. I'm not sure if the law enforcement people are trying to burn it down. Is everything okay? It's now gone off.
I mean, it stopped.
It stopped.
The world is conspiring to make Todd's life very inconvenient today.
I'm like Rosanna Dana from Saturday Night Live. I can't renew my parking. The fire alarm's going off. I got hemorrhoids. It's always something. The last part might not be true, but that was one of Rosanna Dana's lines there. Wow, it's been a day here at Green Bay Zombers. How about that?
Yeah, it sure has from what I've heard.
All right. Well, let's try to turn a page here and talk about a little bit of a serious news happening, as a couple of callers have alluded to. And yes, there's major news happening across the world today as the backlash is growing. South Korea's president has declared martial law. Certainly a lot to take in there. Of course,
although
South
Korea
is
lifting it.
Yeah, it says now after the parliament voted earlier today, is my understanding, saying that they would block it. Now he's saying that he's going to lift it. But this is of concern for people here in the United States, as South Korea is supposed to be the more stable democratic democracy type of a country. North Korea, of course, a dictatorship. South Korea, an ally there. Although the more conservative party, as for the president, is from in South Korea, and accused the more liberal party in South Korea of trying to basically ruin the country. And therefore, he was trying to justify this, saying that they needed to have martial law. So, look, it's certainly an issue we want to keep track of. Our ABC and CBS News will keep track of it as we go throughout the day as well. But as Zomer said, South Korean president saying now he will lift martial law after there was a backlash from parliament and also on the streets as well. Lots of disturbing video coming out from South Korea today. And also, I just want to get to a couple other news notes here. When we come back, take a look a little bit more at Donald Trump's nominees out in Washington, D.C., and we'll see if any more fire alarms go off here at Green Bay. Look, we're always on our toes here. We keep you hopping. Don't go anywhere. We're going to wrap up the Todd Allbowl Show live from WGBW on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Here we finish up Todd's parking woes in Green Bay. And again, it's pre-recorded, so no need to call in. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live from our beautiful studios here at WGBW in downtown Green Bay, 97.9 FM on the dial. Apparently, the fire alarm was either a test or a mistake because of the stop. I do not smell any smoke. And now here's the thing. Rarely do you have fire, not smoke. Where they say where there's smoke, where there's fire. You're right.
Yeah.
But if you don't smell any smoke, probably no fire.
Probably not. Might be a good idea to sweep the building before you leave, though.
Yes, I'll make sure. Coming up at the top of the hour, CBS and ABC News, followed by the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4, Maggie Dawn across Civic Media's network. From 4 until 6, it's Dominic Selvia and the Dom Selvia Show, and then at 6 o'clock, right here in this very studio in lovely Green Bay, Wisconsin, our friend Pete Schwabba and the Nightlight program, or just Nightlight. I'm not sure. It's not called the Nightlight program.
It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thank you. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. And then it is Rick Smith Across America, followed by Mr. Pilot and Native Roots Radio. A great evening all across the network here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, it is Giving Tuesday, a great opportunity for all of us to take a minute to be grateful, to be thankful, to help out our local nonprofits across the state of Wisconsin. Go to civicmedia.us. That's civicmedia.us on the World Wide Web. Dial it up, Google it up, whatever you need to do. And right there on the opening page, it'll say Giving Day, and you click on that, it'll take you right to where you too could give and be a part of Giving Day here at Civic Media's Radio Network. Coming up tomorrow on the program, it is Wednesday, hump day. That means that Pat Kreitlow will be in from Lake Wissota, host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8. And then Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, will also be in talking a little politics. Of course, Trigvi, a Green Bay Packer owner. And so we'll get a little Packer preview with Trigvi tomorrow. I'm sure all that more coming up. And then Friday, we're going to be back on the road Friday in Richland Center in the RC. Very excited about this. It's an entire hour of Brady and Brandon Ewing, an hour-long edition of the Ewing Bros live from the RC on
the
Friday.
The dynamic duo.
Should we do it from the neighborhood if it's nice weather? We could just do it, you know, because our parents live a house apart.
That could be
fun.
And
so we could do it in the old neighborhood.
So there's a house in between?
Yes.
Do it at their house.
I'm not sure Gil would appreciate that, but maybe. Would it be fun? We should have thought about this. It would be fun to do it like if they have a deer stand. We could do the show from a deer stand.
That seems unsafe.
How fun would that be?
As long as it's either, you know, a big enough structure that you can sit in it safely or that everybody's got a harness. You know, as long as everybody is safely in the tree.
I know a person that has like an indoor, like a treehouse deer stand. Maybe we should do it from there.
That could work.
Again, Zomer's not particularly impressed.
Tyler in Columbia County texts in, so you're telling me the Todd show is so good it's on fire and setting off the alarms?
I only wish. DJ listening in Wausau at WXCO. I'll read this, but it's not true. says, oh no, Todd drives a white truck. White truck drivers are often the worst on the America's highways and byways. In Texas, the issue is so prevalent, a popular Dallas-Fort Worth disc jockey once had a white truck Wednesday bit, whereby callers would report their weekly encounters with white truck drivers. We're not talking about the color of the skin. We're talking about the paint of the car, of the truck. The reasons often vary, but one leading theory is that white trucks are often part of a base package. So their drivers beat the hell out of them, of the truck, and subsequently endanger everyone in their path. His recent ticket now makes so much more sense. DJ in the Shaw, listening on WXCO. Number one, I had never heard this before. And number two, it is entirely, in my case, not true. Have you heard this before, Zombers?
I can vouch that Todd is a good driver. I have heard people say that before, but I feel like it's just, you know, white trucks stand out more because so many are darker colors. So I think it's people just having a bias because they notice it more often.
I had a white car one. That was the first time. I just bought it because, like, it was a good price and what I guess it was a base color or whatever. And I thought, well, you know, it's going to show a lot of dirt. Here's the secret. If you don't know this, white actually shows dirt and whatever the least.
Is that
black
so?
or dark color vehicles show it the worst. Yeah. So, my second truck I got, I had a green truck, Dodge Ram, it was a green. Then I got a white one that was a single cab. I got ended up getting 287,000 miles or something on that before it finally, you know, just wasn't worth putting money into it. And then I bought this one, was a year old, but I got a great deal on it at Don Miller Dodge, by the way, in Madison, Wisconsin. And here's the deal. I was one of the last Dodge Ram, because I know Greg Bach over at Matt Naranera, I heard him talking about this. He's looking for a truck, although he did not mention Dodge, which I think is a travesty. I was one of the last. Dodge used to have this thing where they you had a lifetime warranty on like all the major parts. Well, I bought it a year old, but I still had the opportunity to buy the lifetime warranty, and I dickered him down and got it to like $1,800.
Yeah, my dad did that too.
The best money I ever spent. And so from now until, as long as I own it, it covers everything but like brake pads, tires, that kind of stuff, with like a $100 deductible. So I will probably have my white Dodge Ram until this thing falls apart.
Thanks again for sticking with us on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show for this week. As always, you can hear everything else from this week on civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you next week. Your drum, and they will hear you.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is featured in an article in the Cap Times, and he's the host of Nightlight. Across Civic Media, Pete Schwabba will be joining us. And of course, this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The FBI has joined the search for the killer of the United Healthcare CEO Wednesday in New York City. Police Friday found a backpack they believe to be the suspect's, and while the shooter's no longer believed to be in New York, the former NYPD Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce tells ABC.
That image, that picture of him, and that's going to be blasted all over the country, and the phone calls are going to be coming in. Someone knows this guy from somewhere.
President-elect Donald Trump's in Paris attending the reopening of the Notre Dame Cathedral following the 2019 fire. He's also meeting with world leaders, including Emmanuel Macron, president of France, and Prince William. A federal appeals court in Washington, D.C. allowed the law requiring the sale of the popular app TikTok to remain in place. And there are ceremonies today at Pearl Harbor marking 83 years since the Japanese attack that killed more than 2,300 Americans and led to the U.S. entry into the Second World War. This is ABC News. Uber drivers who transport unaccompanied minors will soon have to pass fingerprint background checks in California.
California's Public Utilities Commission has approved a new rule that for hire drivers who transport unaccompanied minors will have to pass fingerprint-based background checks in addition to any other security checks their company might mandate. It impacts Uber's program designed to transport teenagers around. Uber for Teens launched in the fall of 2023. To continue operating in California, those drivers will have to pass the new fingerprint checks. The rule, which Uber fought, mandates that the companies, including Uber, cover the cost of the background checks for drivers. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.